Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 16 of Revelation chapter 2. And we're going to be reading verse 13, which says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. Now, here we read that Satan has a seat, and this is in the church at Pergamos. And the Lord is writing unto the angel or messenger of that church, and just to remind us, actually he's writing unto the New Testament churches and congregations. And what we're reading here will be true to a certain degree of the churches throughout the church age. Therefore, this is teaching us that Satan will have a seat in the churches during the church age. And we're very interested in that because we understand that in the Bible, to be seated or to take a seat often points to ruling. And actually, here in this verse, the word seat is the Greek word thronos, which is normally translated as throne. For instance, this same word, here in Revelation 2:13, it's translated seat, where Satan's seat is. Well, that same Greek word thronos is found in chapter 4, and it says in verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now here, three times the word throne, and it's the same word that was translated as seat in our verse in Revelation 2. And the throne in heaven with one sitting upon it is describing God's throne. So obviously we understand that this throne or seat has to do with great authority. And actually, the Greek word thronos is translated as seat once again in Revelation chapter 13. When the beast rises up out of the sea, we read in verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And this is referring to Satan's rule during the period of the Great Tribulation, and God likens him to a beast for that particular period of time. And he is ruling because the Lord has loosed him and has allowed him to enter into the churches and congregations of the world. And of course, we're reading in our verse that that's nothing new. Satan has been infiltrating the churches and congregations since the very beginning. What we're reading is happening in the first century and has application throughout all the centuries of the church age. Now, why is it special or different when he's loosed at the end of time and enters into the churches as the man of sin. Remember what it says in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. Let me get over there. In 2 Thessalonians 2, it says in verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Well, here again, we see Satan, this time spoken of as the man of sin, entering into the temple, and that would be a reference to the church, showing himself that he is God. He's always wanted to be like God from the very beginning. It's why he deceived Adam and Eve in order that they would believe the lie rather than the truth, and in so doing, they would serve him, the father of lies, rather than God, who of course is completely identified with truth. It's why he's always come against the churches and set himself up as king over a congregation, this congregation or that congregation, or even a whole denomination. Satan has been very active in the churches for centuries, and he has overcome certain churches through his method of sowing tares amongst the wheat and then just multiplying the tares until the tares assume positions of power and authority within the church. Then he begins to rule through them, through his emissaries, and he then has a seat, a throne. He's the one who is determining doctrine and developing gospels. He's the one that is ruling, in essence, for all intents and purposes, in that church. And that has been happening throughout the course of the church age. But it wasn't until the end of the church age, and that's what 2 Thessalonians 2 is referring to, and also what Revelation chapter 13 with the beast taking his seat is referring to, when an image is made to the beast. It wasn't until then, and that's the point that God loosed him, that Satan was able to rule over the entire church, over all churches and congregations in the world. God vacated his position in the midst of the candlesticks, in the midst of the churches. The Holy Spirit left the congregation and Satan entered in. Now the church as a whole was completely given over to the devil, to Satan, and this is what he had always desired. This was the object of his assaults upon the congregations. Now, no matter what church you went to, Protestant or Catholic, no matter which denomination you attended, no matter if you went to a Reformed or a liberal, to a conservative church or to a modern church, it didn't matter if you went to a mainline church or an independent church, to a Congregationalist church or to a house church. It didn't matter if you attended in America or in Africa or in India or in China, all over the earth. At that point, the church age ended at once, and God was finished with the churches and congregations. They no longer were his representatives to the people of the earth. Now they belong to Satan. that's the tremendous difference that took place at the time of the end of the church age. Well, let's go back to our verse in Revelation 2 and in verse 13. And again, it says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. Now here the Lord is recognizing his people in the midst of the congregations throughout the age of the church, throughout the many centuries from 33 AD until its conclusion in 1988 AD, who held fast to his name, that did not deny his faith, even in the days wherein Antipas was his faithful martyr, who was slain among them where Satan dwelleth. And, you know, that's not a light thing or a little thing that God is mentioning. He's indicating that they held fast to the faith of the Word of God, to the faith of the gospel, despite the death of Antipas, who was a martyr. That did not frighten them. That did not shake their faith. It did not cause them to turn away from confessing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is commending them that they held fast his name and did not deny his faith. And again, this would be true throughout the entire time of the church age. The Lord had his people who continued to faithfully serve him despite the workings of Satan in the churches against, in opposition to, the Word of God. And of course, we can see instances of this throughout the church age, on a physical level, when the Lord's people were martyred for holding fast to the truths of the gospel, holding fast to the Word of God, and sometimes it cost them their life. And we also understand this would have application spiritually to those who would have been driven out of certain congregations and had their name put forth as a heretic. Just think of the days of the Reformation and individuals, of some of the reformers who had edicts pronounced against them and bulls decreed, labeling them as heretics and basically as individuals that were unsaved and outside of the blessing of the church. And so they were spiritually killed in that sense. And yet God's people maintained, they adhered to the Word of God. They held fast to the name of Christ. You know, it also says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, a little further into that chapter, in verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Here we find the same word of holding fast. And here it's used in the sense of holding the traditions which ye have been taught. And, you know, we normally associate the word traditions with something that is contrary to the Word of God, to the teachings of the Bible. But actually, there's nothing wrong with the word tradition. It's just a matter of which traditions we're holding to. If we're holding to the traditions which we have been taught in a proper way, according to the Bible's methodology, and these doctrines have been confirmed through the Bible itself, as we compare Scripture with Scripture, And the conclusion of that doctrine harmonizes with all the Bible. We can hold to a tradition that maybe others before us have held to. There's nothing wrong with that because it is a tradition taught by word or epistle, that is, by the word of God. And therefore, it is our duty, our responsibility to hold to that tradition. You know, occasionally someone will say, well, you know, that teaching you're holding to, that's a traditional teaching, as if just by using the word traditional, they're indicating, well, that makes it wrong. No, that doesn't make it wrong at all. Sometimes we hold to a traditional teaching because it has been checked out and examined and cross-examined and verified by the Word of God, and therefore we hold to it. And we hold to that as surely as we hold to something that the Lord has just opened up in these days of judgment. Since the Bible has been unsealed, yes, it's true, and we have been corrected on in some areas, but that doesn't mean that everything that has been previously held is wrong. For instance, when we continue to teach that there is not to be divorce for any reason, well, that's something that has been traditionally taught by God's people for quite a long time. And I know there was an instance or two where someone said, well, you know, we're living in a time when God is opening up the scriptures, and now, therefore, we have to re-examine marriage and divorce. Well, that's fine. Let's re-examine it. But as we do, what do we find? That God still teaches there is not to be divorce for any reason. And if one is divorced, they're to remain divorced. In other words, we find the traditional teaching is correct. And so we hold fast to the traditions which we have been taught. And that is the truth of the Word of God. We do not budge. We do not compromise. We do not give in on any level to a truth of the Word of God. And there may be compromise in politics. There may be compromise in our lives, with our spouses, with others. Yes, we don't want to perhaps hold too firmly to certain ideas or things of the world. We will give in, and in that way we could be humble. But when it comes to the truth of the Bible, we never compromise. We never give in, because what would we be giving in to? Well, let's go to Mark 7, and we'll find why the word tradition often is given a negative connotation. It says in Mark 7 and verse 1, "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders." Now that also is the same word that is in Revelation 2:13, hold fast. "And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not the disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, Ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. And there lies the problem. And there is a very up-to-date description of the condition of the churches of today. They maintain and hold to their traditions and their confessions and their creeds in their church doctrine, in the historical teachings of their church. They hold to what the Pope says, and they hold to what the Reformers say as gospel. And it is not gospel. It is not the word of God, what Calvin or Luther or Knox or Zwingli said. Those men could have all been true believers and saved individuals, and yet everything they said and wrote was not gospel. It was teaching, and some of it faithful, and occasionally some of it not. And we cannot adhere to and allow their writings to be our standard of truth. The Bible is the ultimate standard of truth. It and it alone is our authority. It determines the gospel, and no man. And so we hold to the traditions of God through his written word and what that written word decrees. We do not hold to the teachings of men and churches that adhere to their traditions. They have no binding upon us. They have no authority over us at all. And so the child of God holds fast to the name of Christ. We hold fast to the faith of Christ, which is the word of God. The name of God and the faith of God are basically interchangeable words, and both of them identify fully with the word of God, the Bible. And how do we hold Christ's name fast? We hold his word fast. How do we not deny his faith by not denying his word? We stand on the word of God. If the world thinks we're crazy, so be it. If the church thinks we're heretics, that is acceptable to us, because it is not what they think that we're concerned about. We're concerned about what God thinks, what the Lord Jesus Christ thinks. And he's telling us here in this verse in Revelation 2 where Satan's seat is. And we had the experience of ministering the gospel when Satan had his seat in all churches and congregations of the world. And so this would also have some application to us. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who is slain among you where Satan dwelleth. And despite the church's conviction that the people of God who left the churches and congregations were acting ignorantly or even rebelliously and acting contrary to the authority of the church, well, the Lord's people realize that it matters not what they think, because Satan dwells there. They're emissaries of Satan. They're refusing to hearken to the command of God to disband, to leave their congregations. It doesn't matter anymore. They have no more say to the child of God than the world does. And we don't listen to the world, because we know the world has no understanding of the word of God. And likewise, we know the church and its inhabitants, all of professed Christendom today has no understanding of the Word of God. And so we desire to serve Christ, and he has made it very clear that service to him had to be performed outside of the churches and congregations of the world during the time of the Great Tribulation, and he's made it, continued to make it clear that that service must continue outside of the churches and the congregations, because the church has been given over to Satan. It has ended. It no longer represents God in any way at all. God has forsaken them, and he will never return to them, just as he never returned to the synagogues. They are not the representatives of the kingdom of God upon earth. The Word of God, the Bible, is.